As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Well, it's raining in Missouri, folks, but it's time once again for a show-me showdown. We got breakfast on the table, coffee brewing on the stove, and there's a revolution in the air. Be a part of it. And welcome to our Friday, October the 9th, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming to you live Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. My name is William Roberts. I've got good news of sorts, hard facts, certainly that. We might advance solutions today. Pretty hard to find solutions in this troubled world that we live in. But nevertheless, if you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, you're definitely in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. We're all scratching our heads trying to figure out what happened to that old elusive pursuit of happiness. This is the home of philosophical radicalism, where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game, and to be a part of today's broadcast, you can pick up the phone and call throughout the broadcast. For those with unlimited long-distance access or in the Austin, Texas area, you can call in at 512-904-8014 to join me live on air. And from around America to around the world, you can call in toll-free at 866-841-1065, and your calls are welcome. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email at bvlhost@centurytel.net. Again, that's BVL, like Become Vocal Local, bvlhost@centurytel.net. And for those without internet access, listening via any of our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Simply send your letters to me at William Roberts, Post Office Box 96, out of that little small town, Exeter, Missouri, 65647. That's Box 96, Exeter, Mo, 65647. A big shout out once again to Liberty Radio, Owensville, Missouri, Micro 1650 AM, Buffalo, New York, and 94.3 Elgin, Texas. Thank you, gentlemen, for broadcasting Become Vocal Local to your local listening audiences. The listener call-in number remains throughout the broadcast, 866-841-1065, and of course, your calls are welcome. Gold experiences robust activity in the $1,040 range. The minor uptick in the U.S. dollar impacts global markets. We'll talk about all of that. The main topic today is going to be public finance and lots of related financial news. Of course, we'll take your calls and much, much more. Let's go to those market reports for Friday morning, October the 9th, 2009. Active trading out of New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Gold was trading down $7.10 at $1,047.80. Silver off 16 cents in morning trading at $17.62 for a troy ounce of silver. Platinum off $9 at $1,336 an ounce. And palladium up $3, trading at $322 an ounce. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market so far this morning, $1,043.10 for a low, $1,052.20 for a high. How sweet that is. At $1,040.47, $1,047.80, your gold year to year is up $134.60 for a 14.75% return on your investment. Yes, I received an email yesterday. Listener was wondering why my numbers didn't quite line up with the numbers he was seeing on the screen. The answer is very simple. I always go to the Kitco.com website every morning to put together this report. I also go to Bloomberg, MarketWatch, and MineWeb. But nevertheless, Kitco is always 30 minutes behind the ticker. They have a 30-minute delay on their reporting. I guess it gives them the opportunity to get on. They don't have an actual instantaneous live feed. So that's why those numbers are always lagging behind by 30 minutes. Anyway, we'll pick it up right on the other side of this break, folks. Stay with us. More to come.
Corporate corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds of thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, "Information is the currency of democracy." Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance that helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book, Exposing the Secret Plans of the World's Elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Friday, October the 9th, 2009, live two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Indeed, in fact, my name is and will remain William Roberts. Anyway, hey, I just wanted to respond one more time in a little bit greater detail in regards to the email I received yesterday. Yes, there is a difference between the number that I give to you every morning and the actual real-time number of all of these various indices that we track on a daily basis, largely because of my source. It's set back, it's delayed 30 minutes, and so nevertheless, there is a difference, and that was a very good observation. I'm glad you jumped in with that comment in the email box, but nevertheless, let's look at the real 9 o'clock figure was $1,050.20. So there's $3 difference in the actual quoted price at that time. And these numbers are the midpoints between the bids and the asks, by the way. It's not the amount that you're going to get quoted by a broker for an ounce of bullion gold. No way, no way, Jose. There's going to be points on top of that. Then there's going to be shipping and insurance and all kinds of things if you're buying it through the mail. So your numbers are going to be different. Why do we do it the way we do it? Well, it goes back to kind of a story that I had heard a long time ago about a man that was very interested. He'd married a woman, a beautiful young lady, and they were having a wonderful marriage. But he was very curious because at the holiday each year where they served a baked ham, his wife would slice a piece of the ham off and she would throw it in the garbage. He could never figure it out. He loved her very dearly. Didn't want to insult her, but he couldn't quite figure out why she was slicing a piece of ham off and throwing it in the garbage all the time and then putting her ham in the pan, so to speak. Well, as it turns out, it was something that she'd learned from her mother, and it was something that her mother had learned from her grandmother. And so it's kind of like just handed down intergenerationally. Well, one year, I guess it was Christmas or sometime when they were having that ham, he had the opportunity of asking the grandmother. He went in and watched in the kitchen. He was very curious, watched her make the ham. And she took the ham out of the refrigerator, and she had her pans and all that, and she had all the other things going. There was pies being made and a great aroma, a good smell in the kitchen. And he's sitting there just chatting with Granny, kind of keeping his eyes peeled. And she takes the ham out of and sets it on the counter there on the cutting board, and she takes a nice big sharp knife, and she looks that ham over, and she slices a piece of it off, and then she very carefully wraps up that piece, and she puts it back in the refrigerator. And he says, "Oh, Granny," says, "I really love the flavor of the hams that the family makes, you know, for the special holiday." She says, "But why do you slice a piece of ham off like that every time?" And she says, "Well, it's simple, honey." She says, "It's because my pan is too small for that ham." And so you can see how things just kind of add in intergenerationally, where, you know, goes from the grandmother all the way down to the daughter. The daughter's actually throwing away a slice of ham. Granny puts it back in the refrigerator. But why do we talk about the things we talk about here when we give this market report every day? Well, it's because there's that many lines on my piece of paper. There's nothing more complicated than that, you know. It's really simple. I've got so many lines on my little notepads. I write these out every single day. I gather this information up, and then after the broadcast is over, I sit down and I plot all this stuff on my charts, you see. And so when I went to Office Depot back around December and had to buy more of these little miniature notepads, this particular bunch that I bought, this case of them that I bought this time, had more lines on them, so I have more information on my chart. There's nothing more scientific than that. Anyway, let's go back through those market reports quickly. For Friday, October the 9th, 2009, active trading out of New York City, 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We do find gold trading at $1,047.80 off 710. Of course, you could also say it was at that time $1,050.20 off $4.70 if you want to adjust for the time delay. Dropping down further, though, the London Gold Fix was set at $1,046.75. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed up yesterday 61 points at 9,787. The NASDAQ was up 14 at 21.24. The S&P closed up 8 at 1,065. Crude oil this morning off 69 cents, trading at $71 even. And that U.S. dollar index up 23 basis points, trading at 76.14. And the foreign exchange rates, we see this move in the USDX impacting all the other currencies. The Canadian dollar is up 68 basis points, trading at 96 cents U.S., almost at parity. Very, very close. Never seen it like this, where the dollar, the U.S. dollar and the Canadian dollar are almost exactly worth the same buying power-wise. The Mexican peso moves up 3 basis points, now trading again at 8 cents U.S. The multiplier there is 13.2475 if you're interested. You can buy 13.2475 pesos with one U.S. dollar. The euro loses 37 basis points, trades at $1.48. The British pound off 71 basis points, trading at $1.60. Lots of news on the news in regards to the value of the euro and the value of the pound against the U.S. dollar. They're trying to keep the euro down so that it doesn't continue to walk away further and further from the U.S. dollar. The British pound, again, $1.60. And the Swiss franc, moving off 48 basis points, trading at 97 cents U.S. So you can see in our little basket of currencies, this little weighted basket of currencies, the United States dollar index, the USDX, and we really need to talk about that. It's a weighted basket of currencies. There are six currencies in there, of which the Swiss franc and the euro and the British pound all find themselves. But anyway, it's a little basket of currencies, but this particular one that I built here for us every morning, the Canadian dollar, of course, and the Mexican peso, Those are our trading partners to the north and to the south in this new NAFTA system, in this security and prosperity partnership agreement, in the North American Union, if you will. So that's why we include those. And then we go into the bond market here, and we find the two-year bond yielding 0.94%. There's so much that I still need to learn about the bonds. We'll be talking about that more in today's broadcast and in future broadcasts as I gain more understanding of all this stuff. I'm certainly not a financial guru. The 10-year bond is yielding 3.28%, the 30 years at 4.10%. In the mortgage markets, the mortgage rates continue to go down. They're continually declining. The mortgage rate for a 15-year mortgage is 4.57%, which is down from 4.68 a month ago. And the 30-year mortgage is down a bit from 5.17 a month ago to 4.93. And so that's going to make up some of the stuff that we're going to talk about in the news. We're going to talk about these bonds. We're going to talk about the mortgage rates. We'll take a look at some stuff that's happening nationally and internationally, if you will. Barry the Usurper picks up the Nobel Prize. We'll talk about that. I also want to bring out a little bit about this guy, Lawrence Summers, and so that we understand who he is. But the main focus of today's broadcast, the main topic, is going to be public finance. What is public finance? What do we need to know about it? What do we know about it? And what have other people written about it in the past? And so we're going to go into all of that. And, of course, we've got several articles out of the local newspaper just to let you know what's happening in small-town America. We'll be right back right after this break with your calls. You're certainly welcome at 866-841-1065.
The world appears to be on the brink of collapse. Experts say a pinch of heirloom vegetables tea could soon be the most valuable resource on Earth because it will provide healthy food now and every year after. SurvivalistSeeds.com now has the Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule, allowing you to store your seeds for the future anywhere, even underground, for 100 years. The Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule can withstand 3 tons of weight, is 100% rodent-proof, waterproof, and comes with a whopping 6,000 healthy vegetable seeds from 20 varieties that will grow anywhere in the USA. Unless you trust the government, the Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule and Heirloom Seeds from SurvivalistSeeds.com is your long-term food solution. Our competition charges 10 cents to $1.25 per seed for these same heirloom varieties. But you can now have a head of lettuce, a bundle of carrots, a basket of tomatoes, a giant watermelon, and 16 other varieties for about a penny a seed each. Be prepared. Buy your heirloom seeds today from SurvivalistSeeds.com and have food insurance for your family forever. Visit SurvivalistSeeds.com. SurvivalistSeeds.com is owned by Big John Lipscomb, host of the Don't Tread on Me radio show.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. EngineBrain.com. EngineBrain.com.
Look, it's time someone gave you the facts about your computer. If you're a Windows user, you know all too well what the problems are. Viruses, crashes, sluggish behavior. Finally, you have to fix it or take it to the shop. We see it every day. Now, Microsoft is preparing for the release of their new Windows 7. They want you to pay hundreds of dollars to upgrade. Well, you don't have to pay for the privilege of using your computer anymore. We've been installing Linux at home and for businesses in Austin for 4 years. Our customers love it. Why Linux? It never costs you a dime. All the software you need is free, and you never have to worry about Windows viruses again. Linux is all but immune. Any of your Windows programs will run on Linux as well. Have an older computer? Linux runs great on it, when Windows won't. So instead of paying for a system that's going to cause you problems, stop fighting your computer and start using it. Check out the facts at www.fixedbylinux.com. That's L-I-N-U-X, fixedbylinux.com. Or call us at 512-739-9707. There's a better way. Linux.
And we've returned once again right here on our Friday, October the 9th, 2009 broadcast of Become Vocal Local. We're going to go to the phones, and folks, the call-in number is 866-841-1065. You're always welcome to call into the broadcast, as William has from New York. William, good morning.
Hi, good morning. Am I coming through?
Coming through loud and clear.
Good. I wanted to go back to Monday. I couldn't call in. I caught it on the rebound, but you finally, by talking about art, came into my sphere of activity, though I specifically do music. And it made me think of a book called Art and Beauty in the Middle Ages, which came across. Have you read it?
No, but I'm writing it down. Art and Beauty in the Middle Ages. Go ahead.
It's by Umberto Eco.
Okay, Eco.
Yeah, the Italian author. I'd love to read it in Italian, but it's not in that good a shape right now. Anyway, the Blunt book, which I checked out from a local library, talked about the changing status of the social, of the changing social status of the artist. You read heavily from that book, especially about Alberti.
Absolutely, and wasn't that an interesting little bit just to find in an art book?
Yeah, that was really interesting. And in fact, I had come across the same idea, but from a different angle, not the artist, but the artwork himself. And Eco has this wonderful little paragraph where he says, despite the fact that the medievals connected the artistic with the aesthetic, the medievals had only a scanty understanding of the specifically artistic. They lacked a theory of the fine arts. They had no conception of art in the modern sense as the construction of objects whose primary function is to be enjoyed aesthetically and which have high status that this entails. They found it difficult to define and order the various kinds of productive activity, and this is why the attempt to construct a system of the arts underwent so many vicissitudes. Then I have a nice little paragraph right here. Little by little, a new consciousness of the dignity of art and of the value of poetic creativity entered into medieval culture. Scholastic theory, however, was too rigid to assimilate conceptions such as these. At the same time, we must be careful not to find too much fault with it, as if there were nothing but distortion and condemnation. So as he sets up his medieval theory of the arts, he has this nice little hinge where he introduces today's conception of art. And hopefully that'll work into finance, too, because I don't know. When it comes to financing the arts, I think it's dangerous.
Financing the arts, like as in the National Endowments for the Arts?
Yeah, I have no problem with, say, the city of Charleston or the city of Indianapolis financing its own culture. But I have a big problem with the federal government at large financing a culture outside of the fact that it's simply unconstitutional. And also because, many times money is taken from California to finance arts in North Dakota. Why can't California keep its own money?
Good point. And who would be more appropriate, really, a donor than locals to something that they would be able to appreciate and utilize themselves, as opposed to going up into the great cash cow and carving out buckets of money to throw into some obscure place that few would be able to appreciate. I agree with you. Now, going back to the to this idea of the change over from the medieval art into the scholastic period, if you will, and then into really Michelangelo, Leonardo da Vinci, Alberti, and some of the ones that we mentioned on the previous broadcast, where we start to bring in the real technical stuff like perspective and color and light. We moved, in what I see there, looking back at my own art books, we moved from symbolic representations, either of the gods or of things, to more of a photographic or a realistic look at art itself, raising it up, not just as so to speak directed by the church to do theological themes, but really to bring in life for the beauty of life, even when life is ugly.
Yeah, I've found that the last thing you said, I found that to be particularly disturbing, because in the 20th century, there's been a large bifurcation between the classical concert world and what's called the popular music, when there wasn't one before. And a lot of what happens in the concert world is, at least in the 60s, it's changed in the past 30-some years, but in the 60s and the 50s, it was downright ugly. And, you know, even if you deal in the abstract arts, you're faced with a question, and I came across it as I had moved from the Midwest into New York City for graduate school. And when I went into New York City, that's when life really came down on me, and I was always short of funds, and nasty things were happening all the time. And you could call it ugly if you wanted, so we keep this in an aesthetic perspective.
Right.
You can call that ugly. Life was pretty darn ugly. And I started looking at the music I was writing, and I said, I see enough ugliness. Do I want to make anything that can be perceived as ugly?
Exactly.
And my answer was no.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, it's okay. So, yeah, hopefully, that can...
Well,
what we've said can work in
yeah,
finance.
Yes, it will. It'll translate into all of this, but I like where you're going with this. And certainly when I was in New York City and in the Greenwich Village area back in June and July of 1976, I went to New York for the bicentennial. I can see and understand why so much really degraded material comes out of that city. Any of the big cities, I hitchhiked all around the United States. I've been in almost all of the large cities in this country. And when you get into a lot of the cities, life in city, inner city life, is completely different from what I experienced here in rural southwest Missouri and other places that I've lived, even growing up in Alaska. People just really can't wrap their mind around what it looks like inside of New York City, when New York at the time that I was there was a city that never slept. There was every different kind of highs and lows that you could get. There was a dramatic difference between the people that you would see on the streets and the people that would slide by in a Mercedes or something. You know that there was a dramatic difference in their ability to pay for things in life. And so, you know, we look at the ugliness. Go back, begin with like Salvador Dali, for instance. Even though his art was very new, new art, if you will, very modernistic, you know, the clocks that drip over the edge of a table and things like that. All of his pieces were actually beautiful to look at, and others, in the time period as well. M.C. Escher's work was very, complex and unusual, line graphics, you know. But at the same time, when you stand back and you look at them, they were relatively pleasing. Can't say that for all of Picasso's work. Picasso was really unusual in the way that how he approached his subject matter. But even then, not all of the Picassos that I've seen have been really ugly. But there has been a lot of ugly art since about the 1950s forward, from the Beat era forward. The idea of just heaping paint on a canvas or lines, or just drawing a square or something like that. It goes to this, it goes to a strange new way of interpreting where it cheapens things. Even music, as you brought out, I've got in my album collection, an orchestra rendition of all of the Beatles music. And, you have to ask yourself why. Why did they bother doing something like that? Stick with us, William. We'll be right back on the other side of this break, folks, with your calls at 866-841-1065.
Sounds good.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Millions of Americans are beginning to realize the enormity of the economic and political problems facing the U.S. and the world. And for the first time in their lives, they are feeling the need for preparedness. Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, manufacturing the finest in dehydrated foods for almost 40 years. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer. Unlike other companies that just broker canned foods, Ready Reserve controls the quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packaging. When purchasing from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Other companies are quoting delivery times of 1 to 2 months, while Ready Reserve ships within 5 business days. Many companies do not even offer a catalog. We will be more than happy to send a catalog to you free of charge. Dial 1-800-453-2202, 1-800-453-2202, or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com. Factory direct, wholesale pricing from Ready Reserve Foods. Call us at 1-800-453-2202.
Got seawater? Clean water is essential, but millions of Americans go without clean water during hurricanes, droughts, and chemical spills.
Are you prepared to produce pure drinking water from poisoned water or seawater?
Do you want to remove toxins like fluoride from your tap water? Do you want to avoid buying bottled water?
Sea Panels are patent-pending solar-powered water distillers. They create clean water from any source, even ocean water or polluted groundwater. Water filters are terrific,
but to remove salt and chemicals, you'll need a desalination system.
Ours is simple and affordable and starts at less than $100. Just place in any sunny location and collect up to 1 gallon a day of delicious water per panel.
Nothing to clog.
No chemicals or filters to replace. And the more heat and sun you have, the more water you get.
Call 205-246-6492 or visit cpanel.com. Spelled S-E-A-panel.com. cpanel.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we have returned once again, and ladies and gentlemen, that call-in number remains 866-841-1065. Your calls are certainly welcome. Take advantage of it, as William has from New York. William, how about your response to the comment that I made there going into the break?
Actually, I completely agree with that. I was actually going to shift gears to Chomsky. I wanted your take on something I read out of one of his books.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it's called Latin America, From Colonization to Globalization, and it's a series of interviews in which he was interviewed by Heinz Dietrich. Anyway, Dietrich asks, could you expand a bit on the Japanese detention in the United States during World War II? Chomsky. Well, in the United States during World War II, there were about 100,000 Japanese Americans who were not suspected of anything locked up in concentration camps. But part of that was out of an interest in robbing their land and things like that. They were U.S. citizens? Yes, they were. Yes, they were American citizens, and they were not charged with anything. And recall that the United States was not attacked. American colonies were attacked. Hawaii and the Philippines were colonies, and they were bombed, but the United States, of course, was never even under threat of attack. Also, the United States had censorship. They had no strike requirements and so on. That's what you expect in a country at war. A country at war moves towards totalitarian structures, and the United States did. It had a command economy and so on, and it was never under attack. Does that strike you as halfway decent history?
Pretty good. Not bad at all. In fact, I'm really pleased that he would point out that at the time of the Pearl Harbor incident, if we can call it that, there wasn't a state, you know, so pretty right on that. Alaska was the 49th, and that was in 59, I believe, and Hawaii followed it. So it was still a territory and or a protectorate, as are the islands. And so, yeah, the United States of America wasn't so much under attack. But really, the whole idea goes back, it harkens in my mind to the writings of Thomas Paine, when he basically said that nations are organized for war. Their whole product is war. And we're going to talk about that in this as well this morning. But the idea of fomenting national prejudices and national hatreds is part of the war machine that keeps things going. And as Thomas Paine said, is that when a nation tires of making war on its foes abroad, its foreign enemies, if you will, then it turns and uses that war machine on its own people. And so the Japanese fell victim of that just simply by being singled out. You can imagine, had we had internment camps for all Muslims in the wake of the September the 1 live, or September the 11th, the live burning sacrifice visited on New York City, it would have made no more sense to me to see the Muslims in this country being rounded up as it was. It makes sense to me to round up the Japanese.
Okay. Yeah, I just wondered your take. I actually think that he's using some technical definitions in a specious manner. We don't necessarily have to go into the broader issues of whether the Roosevelt administration maneuvered us into an attack by the Japanese. But we can call Hawaii an American colony, but that was a United States Navy and United States naval base that was attacked in both areas. And once he does that, I think he's using definitions in a way that's a bit ingenuous and even deceptive.
Well, Noam Chomsky is not one of my favorite writers. It's not someone that I follow his writings at all, as a matter of fact, and I have never referred to his stuff on air. But from the standpoint of the direction that I heard from that one quotation, I'd have to read the whole article to get a better sense of it, but from that one direction, there's legitimacy, I think, in what he was intending. Yes, absolutely. Even the coal, you know, the steamship or what it was, but the coal, when they had that longboat come up alongside it and blow a hole on it, even those sort of things. Any place that our military are deployed, there under that flag is the United States. And so technically, yeah, you can say that any attack on any military installation anywhere would be an act of war against us, but I have to look back and look at Roosevelt and look at that the intent behind all of this in the roll up and the provocation, really giving the Japanese little option there, but other than to strike at us. But at the same time, we had ample opportunity and ample warning to be able to retaliate at sea, as opposed to being trapped in a port.
Yeah, you're right. And I also agreed with largely the intent of Chomsky's statement at that point in time, which was that the Japanese Americans were treated heinously.
Absolutely.
It's just simply that I see him perpetuating these sorts of errors to a certain advantage throughout his entire career. And in the 20s, you know, if he were in his early 20s, I would cut him a little slack, but when he perpetuates these errors, or when he says that democracy is not a concentration of power, and he's in his 70s, and he's been saying this for, you know, 50 years, I'm like, what are you talking about? You're perpetuating errors, and to what purpose?
Well, when I go back and look at that genre, if you will, I never forget the muckrakers. You know, there were lots of the people that got the name muckraker But they were basically just, they're doing just exactly that. They were slinging mud. They were raking up mud. It wasn't that they wanted to see, some overall improvement. They were advancing the socialist agenda. So they were agitating and agitating, continuously and have never ceased. You know, there are certain, well, I don't want to get into it too much because I can't really, support it with quotations or references, but Amy Goodman comes to my mind. You know, in that discussion as well. You know, there are certain people out there that seem to have been financed or by the various large foundations to do what they're doing, and Chomsky, in my opinion, falls under that camp.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, and I will let you get back on your merry way because you got an axe to swing for another hour and 20 minutes.
You got that right, and I thank you for your call, William. Call in anytime.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, so yeah, let's switch the gears. I really want to talk about not only the financial news that came down today, but to build it into a greater discussion on public finance, because if we can understand public finance better, I think we might understand a little bit more about the challenges that we face right now, especially, and when we, inside of the discussion of becoming vocal local. You know, it's one thing to rail against the machine. It's one thing to be like a Chomsky or some of the other writers out there, some of the bloggers, and always castigate, you know, and throw mud, sling mud, be a muckraker. The other side of that coin is, what would you do? What's your solution? If you don't like what is being offered, what will you offer into the discussion? What would be your idea? Where would you be at if you were sitting down in a constitutional convention to write a constitution for the United States of America? What's your solutions? Well, so there's a lot to that. And so every day, like I said, I bring out certain little bits and pieces. We've been talking about the mortgage rates as they continue to decline. Here's an article off of Bloomberg. This one, low mortgage rates fail to get brokers' phones ringing. All right, these are Band-Aids on a sucking chest wound on the body politic, these various things that are coming out from Geithner and Bernanke and the Federal Reserve. We're going to find out much more about that today, but these are Band-Aids that are being thrown out there, this idea of reducing the interest rates on mortgages to try and entice people into buying real property at a time when the economy is saying, hey, you really ought to not do that. But let's find out a little bit. This by John Gittleson and Brian Lewis, October the 8th, Bloomberg. Real estate broker Gillian Kittrell in Raleigh, North Carolina, answers the phone these days on the first ring. That's when it rings at all, it begins. Mortgage rates near historic lows aren't producing more buyers, Kittrell said, who recited terms on a rate sheet on his desk, which he said were almost unprecedented in his 30 years as a broker. A 30-year fixed mortgage for 4.75%, a 15-year mortgage for 4.25%, a 5-year adjustable at 3.5%. And we report that every morning. This morning, the 15-year is at 4.57. The 30-year is at 4.93, and I don't have I never report the ARMs, the adjustable rate mortgages. I would steer you away from them with all of my passion if I could. And I have been a realtor. I was a realtor and an associate broker at a real estate company and a sales manager in a real estate company, so I know a little bit about this. But anyway, these rates, he says, may stimulate the market, but they haven't yet. Principal broker of Hodge and Kittrell, Inc. A U.S. unemployment rate of 9.8% in September, the highest in 26 years, and expectations that home prices have further to fall is discouraging buyers, as it should. So, our forecast that foreclosures will continue rising, said Jack McCabe. Well, we'll have to pick up Jack's comments on the other side of this break, folks. We'll be back in 3 minutes. Your calls are welcome.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds of thousands of people every month. sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, "Information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today." Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
And we've returned once again. The call-in number remains 866-841-1065. And in the Austin, Texas area, you can call in at 512-904-8014. Join me live on air this morning. Going back to this article again, the low mortgage rates fail to get the brokers' phones ringing off Bloomberg this morning. It continues and it says the low rates, again, these are mortgage rates, the low rates are a good sign. But you look at everything else, and this is like no other real estate downturn in history, said McCabe, whose clients have included Pulte Homes, Inc., the nation's largest home builder, and Credit Suisse. People who thought they were taking advantage of deals a year ago have lost 20 to 30%. That's what you call knife juggling. And it is. It's a real risky business getting involved in real estate, especially at this time. A little bit more from this article. The average U.S. 30-year mortgage rate dropped to 4.87 from 4.94 last week, and home loan applications last week rose to the highest since May, according to the mortgage buyer Freddie Mac of McLean, Virginia, and the Mortgage Bankers Association. But, of course, you've got to dial in all of the dropping costs of houses all across America and this continuing outpouring or of U.S. jobs. The U.S. has lost 7.2 million jobs since the recession began in December of 2007. Housing markets, which spurred the recession, are showing broad signs of improvement, even though they haven't yet yielded, Treasury Secretary Timmy Geithner said today. Now, we'll come back to that in a moment, but, you know, every morning I give you the gold report, all right? This morning using the, really would be 8:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, but the number that I gave you, $1,047.80, is up $134.60 from last year, and for a 14.75% return on your investment. Now, one of the other indicators that I give every morning, I don't break it out as fully, is silver. But just look at the difference in silver to gold. Silver is up only $5.67 year to year, but it reflects a 48.96% return on your investment. 48.96. If you'd bought a $100,000 house last year, would you be able to sell it this year for $148,960, or would you have been better off investing in silver? That's my question, you see. So there's a lot to this big puzzle here of public finance. Here's a little bit more. I can drop that article for now. There's a lot in it, actually. Barry the usurper's advisor, Lawrence Summers, rejects the new normal of slow U.S. growth. Now, I've brought him to your attention before. Lawrence Summers, you just take a look at him, his pictures on the web. You can go up on Bloomberg this morning. Obama advisor Summers rejects new normal of slow U.S. growth. That's the title. And look at the October 9th article there off Bloomberg. Here's how it starts. Again, White House economic advisor Lawrence Summers rejected the notion that the U.S. faces an extended period of below average growth and high unemployment in the wake of the worst recession since the 1930s. He rejects this notion. What, is he insane? No, he's disingenuous. He's not telling the truth. Barry the usurper, you know, he's like Pinocchio. He needs to get Geppetto to send out some woodcutters to trim all that cordwood off of his nose. Anyway, here's his quote. I would be very reluctant to accept the idea that the American economy no longer has the potential to grow rapidly. He would be reluctant to accept that idea, even though we've outsourced just about everything right down to making can openers in this country. But Summers told this, Lawrence Summers, to a forum in New York yesterday. Again, New York. What do we know about Lawrence Summers? Lawrence Summers has been traipsing around with the United Nations folk on this international migration and development agenda. He was United Nations Secretary General Kofi Annan's special liaison and special representative on this international migration and development agenda. And he followed on and was continued in that position by present United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon. So he's been involved in this hemorrhaging of jobs and industry all around the world, and the importation of all these visa, documented, undocumented, and illegal aliens into this country. Lawrence Summers, he's up to his neck in it, Harvard man that he is. And he's the advisor, economic advisor, to Barry the usurper. Continuing, he says, the American people have not become less capable of entrepreneurship. Balderdash. Our education system has effectively reduced most of the people in this country down to functionally illiterate people. Entrepreneurship is a huge topic. We've discussed that in the past. But entrepreneurship is not just making wax candles in your house and selling candles at the flea market. Entrepreneur is the ability to bring together land, labor, and capital and create industry. Big stuff. He says, continues here, they have not become less dedicated to hard work. Yeah, well, you'd take two or three jobs if you had to pay the rent. And the productive potential of this economy has not declined. Balderdash. We've outsourced most of our machining, our dyes, our tool makers, all of that's out. Our productive potential of restoring this economy is not there. It's going to have to be rebuilt. Anyway, it continues here. He talks about, this article then goes on and talks about China's interest to reduce its dependence on exports to fuel economic growth. Well, what would happen if China stopped exporting to the United States of America? You couldn't buy a cotton shirt made in America today, any place within 50 miles of you, probably. Do you think you'd be able to go out and buy a pair of business shoes made in the United States of America anywhere within 50 miles of your house today? Do you think that you would be able to go out and buy even so much as a can opener made in America? How about a knife? He made it very clear... This is Timmy Geithner. He made it very clear that our commitment is to a strong dollar based on strong fundamentals. Well, there's just YouTube video after YouTube video on the internet from all of the various pundits laughing at Timmy Geithner's strong dollar-based policy here. It's based on strong fundamentals. Where are the strong fundamentals, Timmy, for a strong dollar? Dropping down a little bit further here, the dollar index, you know, I give this out every day, the U.S. dollar index, the USDX, today, finally, first time ever, I can make this little connection. But this dollar index, which Intercontinental Exchange, Inc. uses to track the greenback against the euro, Intercontinental Exchange Incorporated. I'm definitely going to do some web searching on that right after the broadcast. I want to know more about who this International Exchange, Inc. is. Continuing from the article, Geithner said October the 3rd that it's very important for the United States that we continue to have a strong dollar. Dropping down further, China has the world's third largest economy, so okay, if California is the number two, and what, the United States is overall is together number one, and then China, you know, that's your lineup, folks. Dropping down a little further here, China, the world's largest, third largest economy, has amassed a record of 2.13 trillion in currency reserves, that's currency, the stuff that, you know, folds in half, and it's used some of these reserves to purchase 800.5 billion of U.S. Treasury securities, and we give you those bonds every day. We'll talk about the bonds in a moment. But anyway, it's bought 800.5 billion of U.S. Treasuries as of, securities as of July. It's very much in China's interest as its economy grows to become less dependent on exports as the principal engine of economic growth, Lawrence Summers, said. Now, if you were listening yesterday to our discussion with Vicki Davis, we showed you these pinchers that have been set up in this APEC and the various Shanghai cooperation agreements and all this nonsense. You know, to even make statements like these, it's just ridiculous. You know, to be less dependent on exports, we've set up this entire system to depend on their exports. Continuing, in the U.S., Summers said, there has been a substantial return to more normal conditions. Where in the U.S., Summers? He's 47 years old. I don't know whether he's, you know, oh no, he's 54 years old. So where is he living? What kind of a lifestyle does he live? He thinks that we've returned to a more normal condition? Dropping down further, we're looking at a very different economic situation, he said. We're in no position to rest, no position to declare victory. Remember when Jorge Bush landed on the aircraft carrier there? Didn't go ashore, wouldn't do that. Had his aircraft, you know, his pilot's uniform on, airman's uniform on, all right, declared victory, all right. We're still there, what, 7 years later? Yeah. Right, victory. Well, we're in no position to call victory on this economic downturn. We'll pick it up on the other side, and we'll continue our discussion of public finance and current news. Be right back.
The world appears to be on the brink of collapse. Experts say a pinch of heirloom vegetable seed could soon be the most valuable resource on earth because it will provide healthy food now and every year after. SurvivalistSeeds.com now has the heirloom garden seed time capsule, allowing you to store your seeds for the future anywhere, even underground, for 100 years. The heirloom garden seed time capsule can withstand 3 tons of weight, is 100% rodent proof, waterproof, and comes with a whopping 6,000 healthy vegetable seeds from 20 varieties that will grow anywhere in the USA. Unless you trust the government, the heirloom garden seed time capsule and heirloom seeds from SurvivalistSeeds.com is your long-term food solution. Our competition charges 10 cents to $1.25 per seed for these same heirloom varieties. But you can now have a head of lettuce, a bundle of carrots, a basket of tomatoes, a giant watermelon, and 16 other varieties for about a penny a seed each. Be prepared. Buy your heirloom seeds today from SurvivalistSeeds.com and have food insurance for your family forever. Visit SurvivalistSeeds.com. SurvivalistSeeds.com is owned by Big John Lipscomb, host of the Don't Tread on Me radio show.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower, and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. Enginebrain.com. Enginebrain.com.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And we've returned once again on our Friday, October the 9th, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, beginning our second hour. We come to you Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com, in the first hour. A very interesting call from William from New York talking a little bit about the material presented on Monday in regards to the transitions into the liberal arts, you know, raising people up as artists, you know, for the first time in history and that. And then we're discussing finances today, financial news today. Public finance is where I want to go quickly, as soon as we can get there. But I want to cover this other news to set up that discussion. Spend a lot of time preparing for each of these broadcasts. This isn't something that just gets whipped up in the last minute before we go on air. Been up since early this morning. Anyway, back to this article here off of Bloomberg. Again, if you haven't run a little bit of Google time on this guy Lawrence Summers, you know, Lawrence Summers, Shelley Winters, well, you get the drift. Run a little genealogical inquiry into this fellow. Maybe you'll have to go back a couple of generations, but I think you'll find a money changer here. Definitely a snake in the grass. But he goes on in this article, he says we're looking at a very different economic situation. He says we're in no position to rest, no position to declare victory. Yeah, that's right. We've got a long ways to go. He called the $787 billion stimulus package approved by Congress earlier this year a profoundly important and positive step on the road to recovery. We're going to talk about that in a moment, even as he warned about continued high unemployment. So keep that stimulus number in your mind. Quote, we've got a substantial period ahead of us until we get back to a fully satisfactory state for the American economy. What is a substantial period? 5 years? 10 years? 20 years? 30? 50? The jobless rate, back to the article, rose to 9.8% last month, the highest since 1983. Now, until those numbers go down, folks, we're not going to see any kind of a recovery. You're not going to have a recovery as long as we have 10% of our population or more, and I think it's much higher than that, unemployed. I'm going to give you some local news to verify that. But anyway, it is forecast by economists to reach 10% by the end of the year. Those economists ought to lose their jobs, along with some of these reporters that report this sort of nonsense. 10%? It's forecast to reach 10% by the end of December? I think it's well above that right now, the jobless rate. Payrolls dropped. Payrolls dropped by 263,000 in September, exceeding economists' forecasts. Again, these economists, they can't seem to find bubbles in a bubble bath. September's losses brought total jobs lost since the recession began to 7.2 million people. Try and wrap your mind about 7.2 million people out of work, men and women sitting on the couch this morning. Maybe they got their heads in their hands, the children on the floor, gathered around them. Maybe they didn't have dinner last night and they don't have anything to eat for breakfast this morning and their house is being foreclosed and they don't know what they're going to do or where they're going to go. 7.2 million unemployed Americans, the biggest decline since the Great Depression. Obama, Barry the Usurper, and his advisors are considering a mix of spending programs and tax cuts beyond the stimulus measure, although Summers declined to specify which measures are under consideration. Quote, we're carefully studying the experiences that we have been accumulated to date. That's another way of saying best practices and lessons learned, Summers said. Quote, there has been not been a day when the president and the members of his economic team have not been thinking about strengthening the American economy. Well, they've been thinking about it, but they've done nothing to strengthen it. Get rid of the Fed. That's a good place to start. Get rid of the IRS. That's another good place to start. Bring home all of our troops from the 170 bases deployed around the world. That's another good place to start. There's lots of good places to start. Stop thinking about it. Start doing something about it. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
It's time someone gave you the facts about your computer. If you're a Windows user, you know all too well what the problems are. Viruses, crashes, sluggish behavior. Finally, you have to fix it or take it to the shop. We see it every day. Now, Microsoft is preparing for the release of their new Windows 7. They want you to pay hundreds of dollars to upgrade. Well, you don't have to pay for the privilege of using your computer anymore. We've been installing Linux at home and for businesses in Austin for 4 years. Our customers love it. Why Linux? It never costs you a dime. All the software you need is free, and you never have to worry about Windows viruses again. Linux is all but immune, and many of your Windows programs will run on Linux as well. Have an older computer? Linux runs great on it, when Windows won't. So instead of paying for a system that's going to cause you problems, stop fighting your computer and start using it. Check out the facts at www.fixedbylinux.com. That's L-I-N-U-X, fixedbylinux.com. Or call us at 512-739-9707. There's a better way. Linux.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Millions of Americans are beginning to realize the enormity of the economic and political problems facing the U.S. and the world. And for the first time in their lives, they are feeling the need for preparedness. Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, manufacturing the finest in dehydrated foods for almost 40 years. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer. Unlike other companies that just broker canned foods, Ready Reserve controls the quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packaging. When purchasing from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Other companies are quoting delivery times of 1 to 2 months, while Ready Reserve ships within 5 business days. Many companies do not even offer a catalog. We will be more than happy to send a catalog to you free of charge. Dial 1-800-453-2202, 1-800-453-2202, or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com. Factory direct, wholesale pricing from Ready Reserve Foods. Call us at 1-800-453-2202.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we've returned on the Friday, October the 9th, 2009, two-hour broadcast to Become Vocal Local. Now in our second hour, we come to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com, going through a variety of news articles. I'm going to turn to the encyclopedias in a moment. We're going to cover public finance as best we can in this hour's broadcast. But I want to finish out these articles because it sets up what the real trouble, where a lot of the real troubles lie. I guess lying is part of the real trouble. But let's continue with the article here. Again, this is off Bloomberg, October the 9th. Obama advisor Summers, Lawrence Summers that would be, rejects the new normal, quote unquote, of slow U.S. growth. He rejects this idea of slow U.S. growth. And this is what he has to say here. On the Obama administration's push for an overhaul of financial regulation, Summers said changes are needed. After major economic upheavals every 3 or 4 years. Do you still believe in the established two-party political system, dear listeners? Major economic upheavals every 3 or 4 years. Do you realize why the Federal Reserve banking system was given the green light so many years ago? It was to protect and defend us against these major economic upheavals every 3 or 4 years, but ever since they've been in existence, we've had major economic upheavals every 3 or 4 years since. It's enough to just make you want to tear your hair out, but it continues. It says, such as the collapse of the hedge fund long-term capital management in 1998 and financial crises in Southeast Asia and Mexico. What does Southeast Asia and Mexico have to do with the United States of America? Have they not gotten into bed with these foreign entanglements? This is real telling. The article concludes this way. It says this, as lawmakers begin debating the usurper's proposals, begin debating, they've been debating them ever since he came into office. But what is this term, lawmakers? Any place in the Constitution where we have a provision for lawmakers? No, none. We have representatives. We have U.S., the House, the congressmen, and senators. Not lawmakers. Unfortunately, ever since the late 1800s, about 1897, when the American Bankers Association was set up, and they immediately thereafter set up the American Bar Association, and shortly thereafter set up the Uniform Commission, the Uniform Law Commission, and then the International Uniform Law Commission, if you will, and then created the Uniform Commercial Code, and then set up the legislative bill drafting agencies throughout all of our several states, state houses. We've had nothing but lawyers. We're up to our eyeballs in lawyers, parasites, lawmakers, feathering their own bed, protecting their own niche, if you will. The more complex our legal system is, the more complex our financial system is, the more money can be made by lawyers, attorneys. And the article ends this way. He says, if you don't move quickly when the crisis is fresh in mind, you may not move at all. Again, crisis theory. But notice the way he shifts from first person to second person here, third person. If you don't move quickly, who? Lawrence? You're the economic advisor for the usurper administration. Why are you pointing the finger someplace else, Mr. Summers? If you don't move quickly when the crisis is fresh in mind, you may not move at all. Isn't that the same kind of dribble we got after September the 11th? It's always the same, isn't it? Don't let a good crisis go to waste, Rahm Emanuel. Don't let a good crisis go to waste, Hillary Clinton. Here's another piece of specious nonsense in the news today. October the 9th, Bloomberg, Maria Bhatia and Marianne Stigset writes, Obama wins the Nobel Peace Prize for diplomacy role. Oh, yeah. You thought this country was going to hell in a handbasket. Well, here you go. President, I wouldn't give him that. Barry the Usurper won the 2009 Nobel Peace Prize for extraordinary efforts to strengthen international diplomacy and cooperation between peoples. The Usurper, 48, the article says, the first black U.S. president, he's a Negro, mulatto actually, was elected last year, maybe, was elected last year on a platform of extracting American forces from Iraq, excuse me, I think we're still there, and changing the way the U.S. was perceived abroad after the presidency of Jorge Bush, the shrub. Yeah, well, we've gotten change, all right. We've gotten change. He has sought to improve relations with the Arab world, urged Iran to cooperate on its nuclear program, and promoted a cut in atomic weapons held by Russia and the U.S. I guess he overlooked Israel. In a landmark speech to the United Nations last month. This is what gets you a Nobel Prize today, which cheapens the award, does it not? This is surprising. This is a surprising and exciting award. the Norwegian Prime Minister Jens Stoltenberg said in Oslo. Quote, "It's important because it can contribute to the realization of the president's visions." Quid pro quo. It's important because it can contribute to the realization of the mine Obama's visions. The black Jesus, as some of the hosts on this network call him. The usurper has taken important initiatives with regard to peace, nuclear non-proliferation, and he's extended a hand to the Muslim world. Incredible. What an article. Almost don't want to continue. But here, Fred Greenstein, said, awarding the prize to the usurper, quote, "seems like a premature canonization," close quote. A premature canonization, telling words, and could bring scorn to the awards committee, quote, "I don't think it'll bring him any political advantage in the United States, but I doubt that it'll be damaging either," Greenstein said. The usurper is also attempting to increase international cooperation on Afghanistan and blah, blah, blah. Drop down a little further here. It mentions, "Al, I invented the Gore, I invented the internet, and I invented climate change." Al Gore's 2007 was for his work on the environment. So I guess it just runs in the family, doesn't it? Cheapens this ward. Multilateral diplomacy is again central, with the emphasis on the role the United Nations and other international institutions should play. Jagland said, quote, "dialogues and negotiations are the preferred method to solve even the most difficult international conflicts." So now we're right back into the United Nations, as I forecast during this last election cycle, that when the usurper came into office, we would see the implementation of Agenda 21 going on to steroids. And it's been every day another plank in that agenda on the table in the House and the Senate. Dropping down further here, I found it rather interesting towards the close of this article that the Peace Prize was worth 10 million kroner, or $1.4 million, and past laureates include Desmond Tutu and Mother Teresa. Well, so much for the Nobel Prize.
Got seawater? Clean water is essential, but millions of Americans go without clean water during hurricanes, droughts, and chemical spills.
Are you prepared to produce pure drinking water from poisoned water or seawater?
Do you want to remove toxins like fluoride from your tap water? Do you want to avoid buying bottled water?
Sea Panels are patent-pending solar-powered water distillers. They create clean water from any source, even ocean water or polluted groundwater. Water filters are terrific,
but to remove salts and chemicals, you'll need a desalination system.
Ours is simple and affordable and starts at less than $100. Just place in any sunny location and collect up to a gallon a day of delicious water per panel.
Nothing to clog.
No chemicals or filters to replace. And the more heat and sun you have, the more water you get.
Call 205-246-6492 or visit cpanel.com. Spelled SEAPanel.com. Cpanel.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds of thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, "Information is the currency of democracy. Prime Day brings you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book, exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Prime Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
And we've returned, and in Barry County is going to receive $9 million in ARRA. Now, before we go into that, just to give you an idea why I'm sharing this with you, yesterday we received a call from one of our listeners from the 619 area code. Didn't get his name, but he was talking about this, the idea of these various and sundry stopgap measures that the government is trying to used to build up our economy, and the discussion wound its way around to roads. I didn't have this article in front of me at the time, but I'm going to refer to it now. This, again, is a local small-town America, folks. This is Berry County. It's a small county in the state of southwest corner of Missouri, very close to the ultimate southwest corner of the state. It's one county over. But this is new news out of September the 30th of 2009 when this newspaper came out, and this is the article. Berry County will receive $9 million in ARRA, writes our local editor Linda Carlisle, a wonderful young woman, very knowledgeable, and it's good to have her on the editorial staff. But here, Berry County will be receiving $9 million in economic stimulus funds from the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act. This money is part of the state's $397.2 million earmarked for road, highway, and bridge construction improvements. And we talked about this high-tech highway system as part of the global agenda yesterday. Quote, they have not formally notified us that we are to receive the money, but I suppose we can use the money, close quote, said Presiding Commissioner Cherry Warren. I'm going to say that again. I suppose we can use the money. According to the data released from the Federal Highway Administration, the counties in Missouri with the best roads are to receive the majority of this money, quote. I wouldn't say that Berry County has some of the best roads, Presiding Commissioner Warren said. Berry County is number 17 on the top 20 list of the states slated to receive the most stimulus money. Missouri has 38 counties that will not be receiving any of this stimulus money. I have to remind you there are 114 counties in Missouri. Many of these counties have projects prepared and ready to begin, and this will help keep employees and contractors working. Dropping down in the article, the Road Commission was not precisely sure as to how this money will be spent, but they speculated that this money could likely be used towards the Highway 60 project, so on and so forth. Money coming out of the blue. Free money. Free money. Loaned into existence by the Federal Reserve at interest. Free money. No one asked for it. They're going to receive it. They'll take it. They suppose they can find some way to spend it. Here's another article out of the next week's edition. This is Wednesday, October the 7th. Berry County Advertiser, small town America, small county. General tax revenues decline. Headline article here. Linda Carlisle again, the editor, writes, according to Berry County Treasurer Lois Lowe, the sales tax receipts have been down by an average of 10% per month for the 2009 year. I'm not going to go any further. Tells you the whole story. This is recovery. Green shoots, and he scores. Let's go over to a little bit more along the same line, Small Town America. This one, titled H1N1, expected to circulate in Barry County. Dave Compton, the director of the Barry County Office of Emergency Management, you see, even Small Town America has offices of emergency management. Of course, the county emergency management is underlings to the state emergency management, which is underling to the federal emergency management agency known as FEMA. You see the direction of this article. Here's a quote from Dave Compton, the director. Quote, we're starting to see more cases, inferring H1N1, by the way. We're starting to see more cases circulating throughout the county. I expect to see an outbreak that may have to temporarily close schools or businesses, he warned. So Dave, I guess, has got a crystal ball. Maybe he's using a Ouija board. Or maybe he's just listening to Janet Napolitano and Catherine Sebelius. He expects to see an outbreak that may have to temporarily close schools or businesses. Continuing, county health officials are now saying that if a person goes to the hospital and tests positive with type A influenza symptoms, it will be automatically assumed that it is H1N1 because it is the only type of influenza circulating at this time. Type B influenza is not thought to be H1N1. Continuing, says, Compton says that the H1N1 vaccine will be available in late October. We know that they already have secret supplies stashed away. Read that in an earlier article. In the meantime, Compton advises that people go get the regular type A influenza shot because it'll lessen the symptoms of the swine flu if contacted. Tamiflu treatments are available. Widespread cases of H1N1 are reported in Arkansas, Oklahoma, Kansas, and Illinois, while Missouri continues to only see local cases. The CDC has issued guidelines, and yes, they have done that, that indicate more than 90% of type A flu in viruses are H1N1. Well, there you go. More fluff, more smoke and mirrors. But you can see how it impacts even the local level. Even down at the local level, which is why we have to become vocal local. We need to replace these yokels with intelligent local people, and that we can do. Let's go into treasuries a little bit. Again, we talk about the bond market. It's very difficult for me to wrap my mind around just exactly who, what, when, where, and why in regards to this bond market. Maybe this article will help us a little bit. Treasuries fall after weaker than average demand. You know, we've been hearing all of this stuff about unexpectedly, experts say, so on and so forth. Well, here's an article by Cordell Eddings and Suzanne Walker. Treasuries declined with 30-year bonds falling the most in 2 weeks after the government's $12 billion auction of the debt drew weaker than average demand. In other words, fewer people stepped up for those 30-year bonds. Those 30-year bonds run into 4.10% today. They were under 4 yesterday. The bid to cover ratio, in other words, the number of people bidding and those numbers buying, which gauges demand by comparing total bids with the amount of securities offers, was 2.37% or 2.37 compared with 2.92 at the September auction, an average of 2.42 at the last 10 auctions. The 30-year bond yield touched 3.89% on October the 2nd, the lowest level since April. I reported on that when it happened. Quote, the auction was very tepid. In other words, not very many people stepping up to the plate for these, said Tom Gilloloma, the head of the fixed income rates trading at Guggenheim Capital Markets, LLC, a New York-based brokerage for institutional investors, public finance, institutional investors. Quote, the auction shows that the market can sell off when the levels are overpriced. This can be a disappointment in these reopened issues. Continues, lots about it. There's an article up on the web. You might want to check it out, this article. Treasuries fall after weaker than average demand at bond sales. What do you understand about the bond market? Anything? If you do, call in. Clue us in. We could use your knowledge and research on this particular topic. The securities sold today drew a yield of 4.09%, more than 3.994% forecast by six of the Federal Reserve's 18 primary dealers in a Bloomberg News survey. The previous sale of 30-year debt on September the 10th drew a yield of 4.23%. Its bid-to-cover ratio was the highest since November. Stick it all up there on the other side. We're going to talk about public finance. I want to share with you parts of this story. Be right back.
You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network. Long live the revolution.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail. It is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
The world appears to be on the brink of collapse. Experts say a pinch of heirloom vegetable seed could soon be the most valuable resource on Earth because it will provide healthy food now and every year after. SurvivalistSeeds.com now has the heirloom garden seed time capsule, allowing you to store your seeds for the future anywhere, even underground, for 100 years. The heirloom garden seed time capsule can withstand 3 tons of weight, is 100% rodent-proof, waterproof, and comes with a whopping 6,000 healthy vegetable seeds from 20 varieties that will grow anywhere in the USA. Unless you trust the government, the heirloom garden seed time capsule and heirloom seeds from SurvivalistSeeds.com is your long-term food solution. Our competition charges 10 cents to $1.25 per seed for these same heirloom varieties. But you can now have a head of lettuce, a bundle of carrots, a basket of tomatoes, a giant watermelon, and 16 other varieties for about a penny a seed each. Be prepared. Buy your heirloom seeds today from SurvivalistSeeds.com and have food insurance for your family forever. Visit SurvivalistSeeds.com. SurvivalistSeeds.com is owned by Big John Lipscomb, host of the Don't Tread on Me radio show.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower, and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. EngineBrain.com. EngineBrain.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
Now, really, in order to set this up, we've covered a lot of financial material this morning. I want you to be thinking financially, if it's all possible, or at least, just subconsciously. But certainly the idea of becoming vocal local is near and dear to my heart. The idea of actually becoming active locally in your political system. We know that the established two-party political system is absolutely broken. It never had any constitutional foundation. It's been a scheme ever since its inception. And as I've said repeatedly on this broadcast, the multi-party system of socialist Europe offers no better advantage. A one-party system, Franco or Tito, I don't know, you just go around, you just go on around, Adolf, you know, add them up, dictators, the Ta in Egypt, one-party systems, no better. Party systems is what our country was created to avoid. And yet, because the financial interests of the black nobility of Europe and the Rothschilds banking dynasty, because they just couldn't stand this idea of a free people and a free land over here, we didn't have a moment to live under our Constitution before they were in monkeying with our finances, taking back all control of the people. And we can find that in the writings of Adam Smith. You can find it in the writings of Jeremy Bentham. You can find it in James Mill and others as well. So we come back to the understanding that from a local level, if we're the change that we're looking for, if we're the people that are actually going to move forward into the 21st century, the young people out there listening today that may someday be in the news as political figures in this country, we're going to need to know how to do this job just a little bit better than what has been handed to us on a dirty stick from our predecessors and from those even in my generation who, like Summers and others, are in power today. But it brings to mind the idea of finance, public finance. It's easy to cast stones, but it's difficult to find solutions. And if we don't understand something about it, then maybe we don't have a better solution than the people that are in power today. Maybe we would be waffling just as badly under a Ron Paul presidency or some other presidency. And certainly until we have gained a substantial majority in both houses, until we can get rid of the established two-party political system, we're not going to see much recovery. The Federal Reserve banking system was created by Congress. Congress can get rid of it before the end of the day today if they had the political will to do so, with or without an audit. This article is coming from the Encyclopedia Americana again. A very interesting set of encyclopedias that I've been reading my way through. I've got 7 sets in my library, but this is particularly a good set. I have others that are equally well written. But this one is one of the earlier ones that I have. This article was written by an Ernest L. Bogart. Don't Bogart that? Well, you know. Ernest L. Bogart, Professor Emeritus of Economics, the University of Illinois. Went up, and as I usually do when I read these encyclopedia articles, and did a little bit of browsing to find out just who is Ernest L. Bogart. And he's a very interesting man. You might want to do the same for yourself. Certainly qualified to speak on this particular topic, public finance. He starts his article out in the encyclopedia along this line. Definition and scope of public finance. He's going to define his terms. Governmental organization is necessary in any society which has passed beyond the lowest stage of social development, and in modern industrial states, the functions and needs of the government are large and important. So we're starting out laying out a premise, an opening statement, saying, making the statement that governmental organization is necessary in any society. And you can go all the way back to Aristotle, you can go all the way back, dig and dig and dig, and you're going to find that when other two or more people are gathered together, one or the other of them is going to start calling the shots pretty soon. Whether you have a household and the husband and the wife come together, leaving their families behind and beginning a household, whether you have that family 25 years hence after they've had 10 or 12 children and those children are growing up and they're seeking husbands and wives, and a little town grows up someplace, Miller Town, at the confluence of two streams or rivers, or James Town, named after Mr. James or whatever, you're going to find that they're going to start to have some form of governmental organization. And it's happened for all the 6,500 years of history that I've looked into, over and over again. It's a pretty well fair assumption that Aristotle advanced when he says a man is a political creature or animal, and that he's a social being. So let's just take this premise and run with it. There are those that think we can do without government. I haven't seen their plans ever been successful anywhere on the planet. But governmental organization is necessary in any society which has passed beyond the lowest stage of social development, and in modern industrial states. Once again, I'll bring to your mind this idea of the rise of statism, where there's an all-out war raging between legal positivism and the natural law. That in the rise of statism, the state has arrogated unto itself all of the natural law, has returned as codified, statutory, regulated privileges, taxable, licensable, and revocable privilege as opposed to right. There's really nothing even right about the natural law. That's not rights. This is just the sort of stuff that would be written on the hearts and minds of man by the very finger of the Creator. Didn't come from man, it came from Creator, if you will. To get into a little bit of a deistic twist there. Public finance treats of the raising and the application of the resources of the state. Not you, not me, unless we, the citizens, do a little word study on that word citizen sometime, but unless we, the citizens, are the state, then we need to understand our relationship. As I always say, try and find out if you can who you are and whose you are as we go into these things. We don't want to make any mistakes as we move into the future, and at this time, we cannot afford any more of the mistakes that have been made in the past. But public finance treats of the raising and the application of the resources of the states. It analyzes the needs of the state and the means by which these needs may best be met. And you can just substitute in your mind for state, the household, if you wish, to simplify it, and then expand it back out to the state for a snapshot view versus the global view. Again, it analyzes the needs of the state. Notice not the wants, but the needs and the means by which these needs may best be met. Now, I'll clue you in. This article was written in the early 1920s, probably not much later than that. Let's see. No, this article was written probably not later than about 1937. In the bibliography, 1937 is the last document that the author referred to. So somewhere before 1940, let's put it that way. By someone that was born in the 1800s and is a university professor at the University of Illinois in economics. A little bit different from just having somebody casually writing an article about it. Continuing here. So again, it says it analyzes the needs of the state and the means by which these needs may best be met. That is, it treats of public expenditure and public revenue. It's a balance sheet. On the left, you've got your income. On the right, you've got your outgo. Public expenditures and public revenues. And again, let's understand when we're talking about public finance, who is public? You and I are not the public. You and I are the private sector. The public are our governmental agencies, our organization, the public finance. Public expenditures, public revenues. Continued. It also describes the methods by which these are determined upon and raised. How do we determine what we are going to invest in, and how are we going to raise the money to do what we need? Which leads to the discussion of financial legislation and budgetary practice, which is where we'll pick it up on the other side of this break.
Look,
Look, it's time someone gave you the facts about your computer. If you're a Windows user, you know all too well what the problems are. Viruses, crashes, sluggish behavior. Finally, you have to fix it or take it to the shop. We see it every day. Now, Microsoft is preparing for the release of their new Windows 7. They want you to pay hundreds of dollars to upgrade. Well, you don't have to pay for the privilege of using your computer anymore. We've been installing Linux at home and for businesses in Austin for 4 years. Our customers love it. Why Linux? It never costs you a dime. All the software you need is free, and you never have to worry about Windows viruses again. Linux is all but immune. And many of your Windows programs will run on Linux as well. Have an older computer? Linux runs great on it, when Windows won't. So instead of paying for a system that's going to cause you problems, stop fighting your computer and start using it. Check out the facts at www.fixedbylinux.com. That's L-I-N-U-X, fixedbylinux.com. Or call us at 512-739-9707. There's a better way. Linux.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Millions of Americans are beginning to realize the enormity of the economic and political problems facing the U.S. and the world. And for the first time in their lives, they are feeling the need for preparedness. Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, manufacturing the finest in dehydrated foods for almost 40 years. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer. Unlike other companies that just broker canned foods, Ready Reserve controls the quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packaging. When purchasing from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Other companies are quoting delivery times of 1 to 2 months, while Ready Reserve ships within 5 business days. Many companies do not even offer a catalog. We will be more than happy to send a catalog to you free of charge. Dial 1-800-453-2202, 1-800-453-2202, or visit our website at readyreservefoods.com. Factory direct, wholesale pricing from Ready Reserve Foods. Call us at 1-800-453-2202.
And we're back once again discussing and treating on the topic of public finance. And during the break, I went up to Wikipedia and typed in there public finance, and surely enough, there's an article there that you could read. It's certainly greatly abbreviated from what I'm looking at here. It doesn't even begin to touch this kind of stuff. And again, that article on the Wikipedia is written now. This article was written years and years ago when America was still America. Let's continue. Again, it also describes the methods by which these are determined upon and raised, the needs. How are those needs determined? Do we need a new water system? Do we need to repave the city streets? Do we need to improve our stormwater retention and detention facilities? Do we need to extend fiber optic cables someplace and so on and so forth? Okay. We determine our needs, not our wants, but the needs, and then how we're going to finance it. What the budgetary practice is going to be. Today they're talking about budgetary practice in putting caps on independent businessmen's salaries as if that was some kind of a function of government. But continuing from the article here, it's just, and finally, the subject of public credit, by which the orderly income of the state may be anticipated, is included by most writers as falling within the scope of public finance. This gives us a fourfold division of the subject, and the author is going to continue, and he's going to expand on each of these four basic areas. Public expenditure, if you're writing down notes, listening on the radio maybe, don't have an internet-connected computer, Public expenditure is number one. Public revenue is number two. Number three is the legislation and budgetary practice. How are you going to get it done? And number four is public credit. And all four of these prongs, if you will, pillars, make up the right study of public finance. Now let's drop into the article a little bit and start with public expenditures. We won't complete it today. I'll pick it up most likely on Monday, as you know I will. I also want to bring in to the discussion consumerism so that we understand a little bit more of what a slur it is upon the American people to consider us as a nation of consumers rather than producers. But here, let's begin under public expenditures. It is practically impossible to lay down any principles governing public expenditures. All right, I'm going to repeat it again. It's practically impossible to lay down any principles of governing public expenditures, since before we can do this, a prior question has to be answered, namely, what are the proper functions of the state? What are the proper functions of the state? The United States of America, federal, centralized government, and your several states. What is the proper function of a state? These are like perennial questions. The answers to this stretch all the way from the extreme individualism of Herbert Spencer, which would limit the duties of the state to the protection of life and property and the enforcement of contracts, to the collectivism of modern socialist, again being written in the 1930s probably, who would enlarge the activities of the state to such an extent that they would absorb all private enterprise, as we have GM and the banking industries coming under state control. We may, however, treat the question of public expenditures as a practical problem in each specific case to be determined on its merits, that's an old-fashioned thought, merits, without reference to any a priori theory. In other words, he's letting you know, letting us know, that in this article, he's not going to go into collectivism versus individualism as a focus. And we'll continue this again on Monday. Let's go to the calls. We've got Eric calling in from California. Eric, good morning. Come on up, Eric. Turn off your sound. Going once, Eric. Eric has got something going on in the background. Let's continue. Try again, Eric, with the sound off on your computer. Okay, so let's continue then. Once again, this what he's doing is he doesn't want to bring into this discussion an argument, if you will, between the collectivism and individualism. And we've studied both of those, and we need to study them very carefully and separate them out so that we understand them in our own minds. But let's continue. Upon one point, there is no difference of opinion. The tendency of public expenditures has shown a steady and universal tendency to increase. Okay? The budgets always go up and up and up and up. And then he's going to give us some of the factors for why that would happen. Why does the amount of services, government services, if you will, the government expenditures, why do government expenditures continually go up and up into the trillions? He goes on and he says this. All right. Finding it again. This is very, very tiny printing. This has been true under centralized administration as in France or under decentralized governments as in the German states and in large countries like Brazil or in small ones like Belgium, in democratic countries like Switzerland or despotic ones like Russia, in old countries like Greece or new ones like the United States. You know that we're going from a global standpoint here. Part of the seeming increase, to be sure, may be accounted for by the growth of the population. Now we're going to give you some of the indicators here, part of this seeming increase. the growth of the population, the growth of money payments in lieu of payments in services or in kind, the general advance in wealth, and the decline in value of money. Critical parts, dividing these things up. I like this guy's mind, the way that he writes and thinks. The direction of the growth of public expenditures will become clearer if we distinguish three classes, namely, those for the protection or defense, that's the Defense Department, those involved in carrying on public works, and those for social welfare. So we've got social welfare, public works, and protection or defense. The first, he says, in other words, protection or defense, includes not only military expenditures, but also those for police, the courts, and the preservation of domestic tranquility. And so when we can think along the lines of the military industrial complex and the militarization of our police and first responders and the joined at the hip relationship with the courts, you can see it's because they all come under this idea of protection or defense, one of these three classes of public finance expenditures. Continuing, he says, some years ago, Herbert Spencer laid down the dictum that as society advanced, it would expend less for militarism and more for amelioration or for the general welfare. But the former part of this statement, at least, seems not to have been borne out by the facts. Remember, we go back, Thomas Paine, nations are organized for war. Their whole system is all about war. And we need to understand who has been financing both sides of wars for the last 500 years, at least, and then we get to be a little bit wiser in our studies. Responsible for this is the growing cost of modern armament. Now, we talked about that on Wednesday with Daryl Eberhardt as we moved our study into the First Worldwide War and Worldwide War Part 2, where we see this dramatic change in the way war was waged. War, the author writes, is incredibly expensive. The total money cost of the World War, capital W, World, capital War, this is written before World War II, being estimated at about $186 billion. Peace, today, costs the great modern powers more than the most expensive wars of antiquity. Peace. And there is no peace. Why? Well, peace is just as expensive, if not more, than war. Again, peace today costs more than the great modern powers and more than the most expensive wars of antiquity, and the greater the progress in invention, the greater is the expense involved in replacing obsolete equipment with new. And it just mushrooms from there. Think about that. Look it up. We'll talk about it again on Monday. Hope you've enjoyed today's broadcast. I've enjoyed being here with you. Until Monday, good day.
Taking it back, one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
Got seawater? Clean water is essential, but millions of Americans go without clean water during hurricanes, droughts, and chemical spills.
Are you prepared to produce pure drinking water from poisoned water or seawater?
Do you want to remove toxins like fluoride from your tap water? Do you want to avoid buying bottled water?
Sea Panels are patent-pending solar-powered water distillers. They create clean water from any source, even ocean water or polluted groundwater. Water filters are terrific.
But to remove salts and chemicals, you'll need a desalination system.
Ours is simple and affordable and starts at less than $100. Just place in any sunny location and collect up to a gallon a day of delicious water per panel.
Nothing to clog.
No chemicals or filters to replace. And the more heat and sun you have, the more water you get.
Call 205-246-6492 or visit cpanel.com. Spelled SEAPanel.com. cpanel.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds of thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.